You know that on Shabbos, with the Isra of Malacha, Torah tells us numerous times, you know that the Mishnah in the seventh parak of Shabbos lists there are 39 Avas Malachas, 39 categories of Malacha, and the last on the list, number 39, of course, is Motzi Mirshos L'Shos, carrying from one Rishos to another, one zone, from one type of zone to a different type of zone. Specifically, Gemara tells the beginning of Sechah Shabbos, you saw the Rambam neatly quotes it, in the beginning of the 14th parak of Hilchah Shabbos, that the Min HaTorah, there are three types of zones, Midrabanan, there are four types of zones, Min HaTorah, there's Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaRabim, and none of the above. Welcome to Torah Midrabanan, some of those none of the above convert into a new type of Drabanan creation called Carmelis, not really for now. But Min HaTorah, the Av Melacha is to pick something up in Rosh Hashanah and move it to Rosh Hashanah, or to pick something in Rosh Hashanah and to move it into a Rosh Hashanah. And of course, as you know, another variation on the Melacha of Hotzah is to move something within Rosh Hashanah. Pick something up in Rosh Hashanah and put it down four or more Amos away. So it's critically important to know whether you're in Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, and particularly if Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah are side by side, that's a potentially dangerous situation. You're gonna, if there's a possibility of crossing the line, moving some object over the line from Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah without even realizing it, you're playing with fire, you're playing with the possibility of a melacha doraisa of motzi mirshos hayachal Rosh Hashanah. So, the question is that going to be a common mistake, or is it not going to be a common mistake? So the opening mission in Erevin deals mostly with Isurim Derabanan that are solved with an Erev, many of which most of them have to do with either with motion, either with your own walking around or with carrying items. So the opening topic in the Maseches Erevin, as you saw, is about this sort of situation. Let's put a quick picture on the board. Here's the street. People whizzing by, horses whizzing by, cars whizzing by. Millennium you're in. And then these areas over here, to get to through those doors, to those are the chatzeres. Those are courtyards. You have a couple of houses that we would say they share a front yard, share a backyard. A couple of houses are located. A couple of houses in each chatzer. So the house has a shur shel yachid, and this area is called the chatzer. This area is called the chatzer. The chatzeros, there may be more, there may be a whole line of chatzeros that empty into this space, the blue floor, is the mavon. That space is a mavon, and the mavon leads out. So you come out of your house, you're in a chatzer with a couple of other people, couple of the families, that's cozy. The mavo is on the trail, is an alleyway or a side street, maybe the term. And that the mavo leads into a big street. Rashi points out that particularly if at the end this is closed, this is a dead end mavo. It doesn't go through to another street. With the dead end mavo, we call that a mavo sasum. Sasa, it's closed off. This is not Rosh Hashanah. Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, which is lovely. When I told Rosh Hashanah, Carol, he won Rosh Hashanah. It's all great. However, Midrabanan, they say, whoa, this is pretty dangerous. Now, why is Rosh Hashanah in the Torah? by the way. Some people here.
That's for a wall.
Right, well, at least three walls, right, because it's enclosed. And that's what you saw. The most basic thing to know by Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, is that the term Rosh Hashanah Yachid has several different definitions in different areas of halacha. Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I mean, could be financially, it belongs to me, or in the area of Tumah and Tahara, Rosh Hashanah Yachid has to do with how many people are there. And Shilcha Shabbos has to do neither with the crowd nor with ownership. Rosh Hashanah Yachid and Shabbos, Min HaTorah, is entirely an issue of the enclosure, the mechitzas, which is something we're going to be coming to a fair amount as we progress through the first parak of Masechah Sukkah. But Sukkah also has a need for walls. We'll be seeing, we'll keep our eyes open in the future, not right now, to what extent is that the same or different. But it's an interesting, a poetic aspect, the fact that the Gemara opens with thinking about just the language, but Rosh Hashanah Yachid for Shabbos and Sukkah. So as Rashi fills us in, let's take a look at this. Rashi, opening Rashi in the Gemara. Mavu shisasum mishal tzedadim. You have a mavu which is closed on three sides, and there are doorways in it, in the three walls, to lead into the chatzeres, but you have three walls, and the fourth side is totally open. Verosho pasuch Rosh Hashanah, but the tip over here, this fourth side, opens into the street with no barrier. Vechatzeres psuchos lo. And then you have a series of courtyards with houses that open and feed into the mavoi. The yoto zubos, which is rabbin. And that's it. If you want to get from your house to the street, you go through the chatzer, which is cozier, and then through the mavoi, which is not so cozy. And just to understand practically, from Sean's point, chatzeres were used for stuff. But that was like your yard. You play ball there, you do the laundry there, maybe you grill there. That's your chatzer. A mavoi is really just traffic. Mavoi is just the way you. That's why somebody showed him right. He talks about we get the Chanukah. That Truva Zedeshin writes that with Bismazer, you don't have a ain't lano chatzar Bismazer. Ain't lano din chatzar Bismazer, because in most of the architecture they had and that we have, there aren't common spaces that are used for stuff. If you live in an apartment building, there are hallways all the different apartments lead into, but it functions like a mavoi. In other words, it doesn't. No, in a dormitory, sometimes different, but in an apartment building, you have adults, families living. People don't do things in the hallways; you just walk. Hopefully, or just use for traffic. So that's the mavoi. So anyhow, yeah, question.
So, there are certain houses that have their backyards that have little alleys in between them, so pedestrians can walk street to street faster. What?
That's probably a mavoi. Probably more. It's not necessarily that much of a difference, but that's probably more. That might actually be a mavoi mefulosh, because there it opens to two different streets. And so he says, here we're talking about this Mishnah, is talking about mavoi sasum, which I said, close the three sides, and if you come from the house to the chatzar, from the chatzar, from your yard, and from any one of two or three or four or five yards, lead into this alleyway, which feeds into the street. Arehu Rishus HaYachid of Mei Chatzeres. So this is really Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It's walled on three sides. Rashi says, could be there are Rishon who would disagree, but Rashi says, certainly the easiest way of understanding it, you have walls on three sides, Minatah Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because Rosh Hashanah Yachid for Shabbat, everyone agrees, Rosh Hashanah Yachid for Shabbat is all about being enclosed. Whether you need three walls or four walls, that's an advanced question, but it has to be enclosed. You have Mechitzas, it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Minatah, I don't care about anything else. Minatah Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has to do with a large, wide space that has a lot of traffic, and whether it's a plaza, whether it's a highway, and Min HaTorah, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, is just about enclosed. A makam mukav mechitzas. So Min HaTorah, I'm good. So Min HaTorah, as it stands, Ashil to carry in the houses, in the chatzers, or in the mavli, because they're all Rosh Hashanah Yachid, they're all enclosed spaces. However, Asru Chachamim Lahotzi Mirshu Solushus Chaveiro, below Eruv. Number one, Rashi says, there are two Didim Drabbanan, two Chazals came along and said, there are two problems with this space, and both of them need fixing before we allow it to carry Midrabbanan. So I kept saying, Minatorah, right? Minatorah, if it's enclosed with three or four walls, whatever you assume, right? If it's enclosed with Mukav Mechitzas, it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's the end of the story. But Midrabbanan, they said, 1 second. This is a little confusing. Number one, they said that if there are multiple households, Min HaTorah, ownership is irrelevant. Midrabanan, it's not. Midrabanan, if you live in an apartment building, so in my own apartment is just me, my family. Your own apartment is just you and your family. So anyone can carry in my apartment, anyone can carry in your apartment. But once you're in the hallways, or the stairwell, or the lobby, which is, you have multiple households have access and have the right of access to that area. Now, Torah is just a yachid because it's enclosed. But midrabanan, whenever you have multiple households, whether it's a mavoi or even the chatzer, you require an eruv chatzeris, because it's confusing. If you have multiple households, you need an eruv. Shechatzeros kol achas rishus atzma. Hamavoi rishus lekulan. It's Rechaboshito. So you have to make an Eruv for each Chatzer. Each Chatzer is going to have two or three or four homes. You make an Eruv for each Chatzer. Then you make a further Shituf. Eruv means a mixing. Later, like Taruvus, same Shorish. Eruv means a mixing. You mix all the houses together, and then you go the next level up. After you make an Eruv for each Chatzer, you make a Shituf, partnership, so to speak. Also, another type of Eruv for the Mavik. What on earth is an Eruv, by the way? Very important piece of terminology. What do you think? What materials do you use to make an Eruv? Don't think, just answer. What materials do you use to make an Eruv?
Food.
Wow, you guys are good. You guys are good. I always thought it was poles and strings. But you already know. Shkoyach. You already know, as the Rebbe Sheikh likes to say, poles and strings is called Eruv in Yiddish, but not in Hebrew. In Yiddish, you call that an Eruv. To make an Eruv around the city, to make an Eruv in your backyard, that's not technically called an Eruv, that would really be called Tzuras HaPesach. That's an issue of my backyard or the city or whatever area I'm making a quote-unquote Eruv for is not sufficiently enclosed. So it might not even be Rishasari. Yachid. But here we're talking about, this is plenty enclosed. The problem is you have multiple households in that enclosed area. So Min HaTorah, who cares? Let me draw banan. Torah says, Takana Shlomo HaMelech. This is a very ancient in Drabanan. It's a little confusing because many people would think, it's a Rosh Hashanah, what do you mean? There's so many families here. If I can carry here, why can't I carry in the street? They may not realize. Right? So we need to do something to remind people this is different. So what do? We make it Ke'ilu, we're one big happy family. A little bit like we're one household. Why? Because in a certain sense, where your food is where you live. Home is where the heart is. Home is also where the stomach is. So let's say you have five houses in the Chatzer. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. So Yisachar actually lives in Yisachar's house. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they'll all put food. They'll leave some food in Yisachar's house. So Yisachar really lives in his house. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they sort of honorarily live in Yisachar's house. Now we're a little bit like one big household, one big happy family, or not so happy family, as the case may be, hopefully happy, but one big household. So now that's called the Eruv Chatzeres. We're mixing all the families together by putting everyone giving food. Everyone donating food that goes into a single house. We don't really all live in that house. That's fine. But all we're trying to do is accomplish a hekka. A reminder that this is different than the street. This is not Rishus. It's not to say, don't confuse this with a Rishus Harab. That's number one. So all the houses in this chatzer will put food into this house. All the houses in this chatzer will all give food to go to this house. And that's step one. And then you do the same thing for the, once each chatzer has been reformed into a single macro household, you then go the next level, you take all the chatzeres, chatzer A, B, C, D, will all provide food that goes into one of the houses in chatzer E. So that's like a mega household. They're building step by step. I think we have to usually assume, yeah. That's actually coming up later in the paragraph. You can't just leave it hanging there. Many shuls, many communities have the minig, the old minig, several centuries old, to put the Eruv Chatzeres food into the shul. So that's a discussion of poskim. It's a very old minig, it's a discussion of poskim. Why yes, why not? We'll get to that blue netter later on daf, gimel and beis. Coming up. Some communities do, some communities don't. Okay. It's a freilich hasugim. So the fact that those who do assume that the shul counts as a house. You wouldn't just put it in the street, that's for sure. It has to be in one of the bats. The sheet of, I could be wrong, I thought sheet of also has to go to the house. Really? We'll have to take a look. Ah, you're right. You are correct. Thank you. Very good. Correct. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you for correcting. Good. So that's problem number one. Problem number one is we have multiple households, and that's confusing, so we have to, the fix is an heir of a sheet of ke'ilu, we're all one big household. So, then Rashi says, what's the other problem? The other problem is l'fisha eno mechitza revius, the other problem is, but this is wide open. The wide open on the fourth side. It's richu hekir b'roroshu ha'pasuach l'chus harabim. You need something, a physical thing, a hekir, a reminder that this is the divine line. You can carry here and here and here. You can't carry here. It's fluid. It just sort of just turning the corner. So what do you put there? One of two things, either or. Either?
Lechi.
Lechi or a korah. Lechi is zakuf, lechi is vertical, or you put a korah across. Good outlook. Okay. So that's the olive base, yeah.
Can you just like put a big sign saying this is not this is relevant? Now entering Mabul.
That's exactly what Chazal hold.
Like instead of putting
Institute.
The word there. It's like writing on a sign.
Yeah. Well, it would have to be, you couldn't...
It's like putting on the wall next to this is a Mabul.
Let's say I take a little dog tag and I write on it Kol Mitzvos Hashem and I attach it to my shirt. Yotzei Mitzvot Tzitzis or not? A serious question. The answer clearly
no.
Even though I don't know why I was laughing. In other words, it's an important point. In other words, you can't lo darshin time of the kra means it's not enough for me to say, well, the mitzvah accomplishes X, so I have another solution to accomplish X. If you want it, or let's say sometimes there's the dindra banan, that when you, certainly when you build a new house, perhaps even when you repaint a house, certainly when you build a house, you're supposed to leave a one square amma undone. And that's a zeichel of Herman. Usually it's a square on the face of the front door. Undone, that's a zeichel of Herman. So let's say, poskim right, that the people had developed this idea, instead of actually leaving the square undone, they would like write Imeshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini on the wall, or on a wall hanging, which is very pretty and very meaningful, but does not fulfill the Dindra Banan, Zeich L'Chorban. So you're fulfilling the spirit of the law, and it's a good idea, and in addition to having a Zeich formal Zeich L'Chorban, you also want to have a wall hanging, or let's say you moved into someone else's house. You're not in a position to make a Zeich L'Chorban. So it's meaningful to have a wall hanging that says Mishkachech Yerushalayim, but you don't fulfill the Dindra Banan. It's not enough. It's not sufficient. So if you want to have a sign next to the Lechi that says, this Lechi reminds us, an explanation, and have a, what's it called? Like in a museum. Right. So that's beautiful. But and that is meaningful and will enhance our fulfillment of the din. I don't think it can substitute. If you want to be clever, you could make a sign in a way that actually counts as a lechi also. But it's not necessary. And if it doesn't fit the parameters of lechi, as to be ten tefachim high, to be just start near the ground, they would not be sufficient either. Very good question. So, okay. So that's just the aleph base of Rishuyos and the Aleph Beis of Chatzeres and Mavoi, and the two problems in Midrabanan, and this Mishnah is talking about the solution to the second problem, which is the Lechi or the Korah. Yeah.
What's a Lechi and a Korah?
Lechi is a vertical pole that you would put near the doorway, and a Korah is a horizontal beam, cross beam, put across the top. So the Lechi needs to be at least 10 tefachim high, and needs to start close to the ground. So it's not, if you want to make it very tall, you can, but it needs to be here. The Korah, obviously, is not to be 10 tefachim from the ground, otherwise everyone's getting hit by it. So obviously it doesn't have to be 10 tefachim from the ground. It's going to be much higher. It's going to be over anyone, height of anyone walking through. So the question is how high it can be. So what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah says, Erevin? Okay. Right? 20 amas is no good. Tanasa mavi shekavah meh shemama, ye ma eit. Gevalt. Yehuda omer, enotarach. Sounds very familiar. whether it's okay for the korah of the mavoi, not the mavoi itself, the korah of the mavoi, if the walls of the mavoi are more than 20 amos high, the natural way to place the korah is just to put it across the top. But if the walls of the mavoi are more than 20 high and place it across the top, then the korah is more than 20 amos high. Is that a problem? Chum says yes, and Yudah says no. I'm sorry? Yes. You don't have to break your... Chacham don't say you have to knock off the top of the wall.
No, the
lechi. Yeah, the lechi needs to reach up to a height of 10 tefachim.
Or if it is more than 20
amos. That's fine. It's also below 10 tefachim. It's also here. But the korah is entirely above 20 amos. There's nothing down here that you're going to see. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? So what's wrong? It's so nice. It fits so well. What's the problem?
Why over here do we use Yemayit with
Tshuva? Right. Here we said Pasul. In Erevin we said Yemayit. And what bothers us probably, the first host is the other points out, what bothers us is it's so similar, and yet at the last moment there's a curve away. Tosis points out, sometimes the Mishnah says Pasul, sometimes the Mishnah, in other contexts, we sometimes tell you how to fix something, sometimes we don't. But what's striking, Tosis says, is that here have two Mishnahs, they're almost identical. They're so parallel, and yet at the last moment, the way that the cases are phrased is almost identical, but the din for those cases is phrased in opposite ways. Are we problem-oriented or are we solution-oriented? Here we just said it's a problem, it's possible. Over there it said the solution is you might. So here he told you the din that's no good, or there we were solution sellers. That missionary even tells you what to do. Tells you what to do. So the Gemara says, how many tirutzim does the Gemara have for this?
Two.
How many ways is there to understand this tirutzim? More than two. Okay. So the Gemara answers number one and number two. Number one, Sukkah Daraisa is Pasul, Mavoi, which is Rabbana, we said Takant. Sukkah is Daraisa, this is Daraisa, that's only Rabbana, that's what we stressed before. Minat Torah, Mavoi is totally fine. Snarish is a Rabbin, care all you want. It's Mukaf, Gimel Machitzes, go ahead. The whole issue is, Mid Rabbanan. If it's only Din Rabbanan, so then we say, fix it. If it's a Din Daraisa, we say, it's no good. And the obvious question you should ask is, what's wrong with saying there's something which is Rabbanan is Pasul? What's wrong with telling me how to fix a problem in the Torah? That's right. And then we showed them all over that. There's something missing here. The Gemara is assuming, that's the right, that's Rabbanan. So there's a missing step. And the second answer is what? Yibai Seima. But the right is not Mitayin Takata. We would have loved to have said the fix here also. The right is Rabbanan doesn't matter. It would be lovely to say the fix. But sukkah the nefishi mile pasuk b'tayim psula. Mavi lo nev nefesh mile tayim takan. The word nefesh is an important word, important Aramaic adjective to know. Nefesh means many, right? Many. There are many mili. Mili is the plural of milsa. Milsa is Aramaic for. How do you say Milsa in Hebrew? Dover, or maybe even Mila. Right? In both senses, it's important to realize there's a whole host of Arabic words or sharashim that parallel Hebrew both in like the literal sense and also in the way it's used. So here's an example. Milsa literally means a dover. The dover can mean a word, dover can also mean a thing or an idea. So Milsa also could either mean a word or it could just mean dinim, ideas, objects, stuff. Nafish mili means that there's not that there's a lot of words, there's several words in both cases, but here the point is there are a lot of cases. That we're dealing with multiple situations and therefore you don't have an option of, say, the only way to go. Pasik v'tayim psula wants to be posik. Wants to be something that's across the board. The only thing you can say across the board is pasul because... Since there are multiple cases here, what would be my alternative? Right, you have to say, this one, you have to lower it. this, and then the next case you have to raise. Under 10 tefachim, you got to raise it. Then if it doesn't have three walls, you got to add a wall. If it has insufficient schach, you have to add more schach on. So that would not be pasuk. That would not be cut and dried. That would be very elaborate. So we want to be efficient. So in our Mishnah, we said, pasuk. I had a Mishnah there, but we're going to talk about one problem. The problem is that the lech is too, it covers too high. So you could say possible, but it's just as efficient to say you might. So why not say takana if you could? Yes.
Pasuk means universal.
Pasuk means, it will be a more precise translation. Universal is a good first approximation, yeah. To say, Davar Pasuk is like a blanket statement. Okay, Maram has a, if you take a look at Maram, he said that open Maram, he points out, think about these two answers, and it's a good way to start thinking about them. Anyway, the two answers, the difference between the two, there are a lot of difference between the two answers. One of them is what's your muskel rishon? What would you have wanted to say? What's the rule and what's the exception? And in the second answer, he says, the first answer, it sounds like perhaps, really would rather say possible. But maybe by Drabban you can't say possible, so instead we say takana. Okay, that's whether or not that's true is a good question. The second answer, we really would rather say takana. And we're explaining why, but by Erevin we can't give you the fix, so instead we had to say, here we couldn't give you the fix, so we had to say possible. But really we'd rather give a takana. Whereas Maram suggests in the first case, the first teretz, we really would rather say possible. But since it's Rabbanan, you can't say possible. Now whether or not that's true is a good question. It actually gets us thinking about that first teretz. Which is the rule, which is the exception? We would want to say possible, but by Drabbanan you can't say possible, or would rather give the fix. But by the Raisas you can't give the fix. And then that gets you wondering several questions.
So by the Raisas or just by our
specific? Well, the way our Gemara presented it is here it's the Raisas, so we tell you it's possible, we focus on the problem, and over there is Drabbanan, so we focus on the solution.
But the reason the Raisas different
shorms
that we have to use.
No, that's the second. Remember, there are two teruts in the
Quran.
Now we're back to the first teruts. What Maram told us about the thing about the difference between first teruts and second teruts again. We had a mission of Erevin, a mission of Sukkah, and a mission of Erevin. Right? And they both spoke about greater than 20. The Mishnah Sukkah said greater than 20 is Prasal, or Psula, if you care about your grandma. And there in the Aaron it said, you might take it down. Okay. So they said, what's going on? So that was the Kasha. Right? That was the Kasha. So they had Teretz Aleph and Teretz Beis. Teretz Aleph was, this is Doraisa. And here is Rabban. Teretz Beis was here it's many, and here it's only one case. Pluribus versus Unum. Right? So if here is Pluribus, so you have to say possible. Well, there it's Unum, so we have, this is one case. I have to assume it gets reference, or else you're so holy that you never look at money. Okay. Good. I assume Bali Musa, such as you, wouldn't look at money and not notice what you're looking at. Okay. So anyhow, good. So that was the two theories. And again, the Gemara is clear, and let's add a little more. The Gemara is clear in the second teretz. We would really rather always say which way? The second teretz. Right. We really want to say Yemat. That's really ideal. This is the rule. You might. The exception, Nebuch over here, our Mishnah and Sukkah, we can't say Yemayit, because then we have to Yemayit, Yad Bia, Yosef Dofen, Yosef Sach, it becomes very awkward. So, okay, so we're relying on people using their heads to figure out if they think they really would rather say Takana. Now, interesting question is about the first answer. We would rather say Pasul. Pasul is inappropriate by Rabbanan. That makes you wonder why. Or no, maybe you also. We really rather say Takana, but somehow to say Takana, to give the fix, is inappropriate by a Daraisa. Yeah. Yeah, so let's see how does this play itself out. So let's start with Rashi. Let's start with, what does Rashi say? This first paragraph is a big mystery. Rashi, if we can crack this mystery, we'll learn a lot. We might even end up learning a lot about the Rashi's Rabbanim in general. Perhaps. Far beyond the narrow confines of Sukkah and Mavoi, we might learn something even broader about the Rashi's Rabbanim in general. Perhaps. You never know what might happen. So we begin, we start with Rashi. What does Rashi say? Where does Rashi take us? Let's take a look. Sukkah midaraisa. Let's read the Rashi on both Terutzim. Sukkah midaraisa. Sukkah is deraisa. Why the Esrim Amma Dila Yafinu midaraisa? Not only is Sukkah mina Torah, but the din of Esrim Amma is also a psul deraisa. Now there could be demon drabbanan in the world of Sukkah, but the fact that a 21 Amma Sukkah is no good, that's a din deraisa. It's learned from the Chumash. The Kodim Shenishne is HaMishnah Nemra Shiura Misinai. Before the Mishnah was composed, this shear was already given. Rashi, by the way, is indicating something we'll get to later in the parak, which is that shiurim, deraisa shiur, are halacha Moshe Sinai. I think we're talking about different areas of halacha, which tend to be halacha Moshe Sinai. One of them is shiurim. The fact that achila means a kazayas, and so on and so forth. The fact that amechitza is 10 tefachim high. That those are presumed usually to be halacha of Moshe Sinai. So Rashi says, look, that sounds like what he's saying. Either he's referencing Halacha Moshe Sinai, or he's just saying, you have the drashas right here. It's rooted in the Chumash, which was given at Sinai. The language, the Misinai, definitely makes you think of the Gemara later in the parak. But the Maitre Rashi's point is whether it's based on drashas or Halacha Moshe Sinai, but it's what's it called? The din precedes the writing of the language of this Mishnah. V'yu Anasi compiled the Mishnais, the 200s, right, around 150 years or so after the Churban Bayis Sheni, but he was compiling statements. He didn't necessarily, most of them, he didn't write all the Mishnahs, but he was editing and compiling, collecting, and sorting out what the Tana, the statements we had from Tana over the last couple of generations. Okay? So maybe the Mishnahs, a line of Mishnah might be 100 years older than Vyunasi, 200 years, maybe 300 years older. Maybe some are of the opinion that the Paragazam and Koman may go back to the days of Ezra. Okay, that's like 500 or so years, 600 years before Vyanasi. But still, we're talking 1,000 to 1,500 years after Imam Har Sinai. The Binyan Bayis Sheni, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, is roughly, approximately 1,000 years after Mamon Har Sinai. The death of Malachi, the last Navi, Malachi, I think, according to Seder Olam, died in the year 3448, exactly 1,000 years after Mamon Har Sinai. And that's at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period. Right? So they're talking about the Mishnahs are being written well over 1,000 years after Mamon Har Sinai. So Rashi says, this Mishnah, our Mishnah, Sukkah Shikabo Mamon Har Sinai Mapsula, was written a long time after the din was given. Okay. So Tani Psula. We said Psula. Shayech lemisni ba lashan psul. You're able to say pasul by a deraisa. Kilomar, lo nasis ketorah kalacha. It wasn't done according to the din. But Mavi, which is all drabanan, why could, as we explained before, midaraisa, sagil rishalash mechitzis. Now Torah has three walls, it's rishalash yachid, the end of the story. The whole need for air, both air of chaser shit and mevos, and for the lechi of the korah, it's all drabanan. The whole need for the Korah is only drabanan. So clearly, the requirement that be under 20 amos is obviously drabanan. So therefore, you have to say takana. Why? What does Rashi say? It's a funny Rashi.
A lot of people weren't so aware of it,
so
before you start giving the dinim, you should
So let's see. Tani takana. This is an interesting Rashi. But he says, by drabanans, if you were sensitive, you notice he already said, by sukkah, you're able to say pasul. Ah, gevaldik, I could say pasul. Right? By sukkah, shayach lemisni ba'al sa'an, able to say pasul, which apparently, for Rashi, is the preferred case. We would rather say pasul, according to Rashi. Just a nebuch by, why is a good question, but nebuch by, drabanans, you can't. Why can't you? Delosh tani takanta, says Rashi. Delosh shayech lemisni ba lashon pasul. You can't use a lashon psul. You can't use the terminology of psul. This is no good. It's disqualified. Deman psala. Who made it pasul? Kodim shenishnes mishnazu. Who made it pasul already before this mishnah was written? Harehi, or formulated, harehi tchilas hora asa umitzvasa. It, he, she, a feminine it, is the beginning of its teaching and of its din. What did Rashi just say? So he said something, a remarkable historical assumption. Yeah? Right, exactly. As you know, Rashi is making a fascinating historical assumption that the Mishnah in Erevin is the original language of the Takanas Chazal. This was the, not just that this was the creation, this formulation was the creation of the Din of Mavon. This is it. This was the language Chazal used. And the Mishnah was, that Mishnah was originally written when they were masaking the Din of Korah, or at the very least, that the Korah has to be within 20 amos of the ground. And the Korah is not as old as Erev Chatzeres, goes back to Shlomo Melech. But I don't think Lechi Korah is old. So Rashi making a very fascinating assumption. But that's a big hanacha to make. Clearly, Mishnayos aren't always that. Certainly by Dim Daraisa, that's not the original formulation of the Din, as Rashi just pointed out. If he taught the Mishnah by Din D'Oraisa, this is the way one of the Tanoim taught the Din D'Oraisa. And that Nusach, different Nusachos, different ways of expressing certain Dinim, and that one stuck. And that was when the reviewed us, Nusach said, I'm going to put that one in Mishnah. But Din D'Oraisa, clearly, this is just the way one Tana taught this Din, and that his formulation became Mekuvah. But Rashi is assuming, but by Drabanan, at least some of them, the Mishnah is actually recording the original nusach of the creation of the Gzeir. A. So this Rashi, so how many assumptions is Rashi making? How many steps is this Rashi? Number one, he's assuming that this Mishnah, which records the Din Drabanan, is not just recording the way that Din Drabanan was taught, it's recorded in the way that Din Rabbanan was originally formulated when it was created. A. And what's his other assumption? One assumption is about the history of this Mishnah. The other assumption is about use of language. What else is Rashi saying? And the puzzle implies. Right. It's right there. Oh, that's puzzle. That's like a state of being. Remember, puzzle versus you might. Puzzle means it is. But what does Pasul refer to? To what item does Pasul refer?
Like
right? Zukkah. Yemayit refers to, or who does Yemayit refer to? That gives it away. Right, Yemayit means he should lower it. Someone should lower it. Right? It's a statement of it. So far we've been focused on the fact that Pasul is a problem oriented, right? And they don't tell you the fix. And Yemayit is takanta. It's solution oriented. Rashi says, but it's also you have to realize the Pasul is making a statement about the status of this thing. This is a Pasul a thing. So that's a status that sounds like already exists. Oh yeah, that's a Pasul a thing. That's broken. Not that I just broke it. It's broken. But Yemayit isn't taking a stand on whether the thing is possible or not. So Rashi, again, so as I was saying before, Rashi is making two assumptions. His first assumption is an assumption about the history of this Mishnah, of the Mishnah Erevin. And number two, assumption number two, is that the language of possible implies a pre-existing status. It clearly implies a status. That's true. Possible means the thing is possible. Rashi assumes that if you're sensitive to language, or how do you say it? Man psala. Let's read again. Rashi demasal tani takanta. We'll go back to the early one. Tani takanta by drabbanans. You have to say takana. Why? The lo shayich lemisti boshmosa. You're not able to say possible. Why? The man psala kodem shenishnas mishnazu. What does the word man mean? Who? Who posseled this before this Mishnah was written? Again, number one, that implies A, he's assuming that this was Harei Tchilas HaRasa Mitzvah. So this Mishnah records the original language of the creation of this din. And, but also subtly, Rashi is telling us that it sounds like it's pre-exist. Possel sounds like it's pre-existing. That's already possel. Not that I'm... Now, you could have argued on either of Rashi's two assumptions. The fact that apostle is a status, that's clear. But the fact that, A, the Mishnah Erevin is the original Nusach of the Takan Drabanan, wow, okay, that's certainly debatable. One can imagine other Rishonim disagree with that. And as well, to assume that apostle has to imply it's already possible, I want to say they were Masakin, that it's possible. That was a takana. From here on in, this is possible. So Rashi is making, now what drives, Rashi making two assumptions, both of which are necessary in order for his pshat to work. So what's driving Rashi to make the two assumptions? What prompted Rashi to make these pair of assumptions? Okay, otherwise, what do you do with the Gemara? Gemara says, Rashi looks at the Gemara and says, this is mysterious. This is a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Oh, the Rashi says, Apostle Drabbanan is my, what on earth? Like, what? My Shemitah is Sarasinai. You want to tell me enough for the second time? It's many cases, one case, that I understand well. But the Rashi have to say, Apostle Drabbanan say, Takano. Why? Well, what does A have to do with X and B has to do with Y? So Rashi says, oh, well, that pressure. It could be Rashi also had other sources in his back pocket. Maybe there are other indications that the Mishnah is... today's early day. That's right. So maybe, so let's wrap up with this. So it could be there are other Makoros also that gave Rashi the awareness from other sugyas that Pasul implies a pre-existing soul. And perhaps that a Mishnah might often record the original Takana Javaran. But certainly, within the sugya, he has a problem, and it's very mysterious. So if you put these two assumptions together, all of a sudden, we can make good sense of Rashi, of the Gemara. We're going to see tomorrow, other Rishonim of other ways of, at least two other ways of looking at this. It may impact which is the rule, which is the exception, and those other two Rishonim also making assumptions, which we'll have to spend some time thinking about.